Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hello everyone, this is Brad Larson, host of the Property Management Mastermind Podcast. To see a complete list of the offers and discounts we have worked to provide, visit our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. In there you will find additional discounts from Tenant Turner, Citizen Home Solutions, PMW Websites, and several others. Also be sure to check out our Seminar and Conferences tab, where we highlight different conferences going around the country, business and property management related. Lastly, be sure to seek out the Facebook group we have started and become a member. In that group, the PM community at large, to include vendors, are welcome to join.
Choose Seacoast Commerce Bank as your property management bank of choice. Seacoast Commerce Bank specializes in trust accounts and business banking for property managers. One of their best features is a cash analysis program where they can assist in paying your property management related invoices. Contact Allison at 619-988-6708 to learn more. And be sure to listen to the Property Management Mastermind Podcast, episode number 26, about Seacoast Commerce Bank.
And welcome everybody to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind Show. I am your host, Brad Larson, and today's guest will be myself. Okay, we're going to talk about goals today. And so this is something that is near and dear to my heart, as we do like to set annual goals. I sit down every year, go through what I did last year and talk about what I'm going to do next year. So this is an annual thing. Then I also bring in accountability partners that will help me through the year kind of keep on track with these goals. So what we're going to do today is we're just going to do an episode basically talking about goal setting. We're going to talk about it in specifics to the property management industry to help you set goals for 2019. So without knowing it, you are all going to be my accountability partners and I will be yours as needed. So here we go. Let's kick this off. So a couple of things we want to go through, and there's no real right order on this. So I'm just going to kind of, you know, riff away, as Steve Welty would say, and just talk about some of the things I want to put out there for how you potentially can set goals in this industry and some of the guidelines that you may want to follow. So to define goals, right, there's a kind of a drill you want to go through, and there's an acronym that a lot of people reference when talking about goal setting, and it's called SMART, S-M-A-R-T, in reference to goal setting. This is nothing I created. I'm ripping it off and telling you about it. And to kind of go through this one by one, the SMART common technique is what they're calling it. The SMART acronym technique is really a good way to kind of sit down and pick apart exactly how you want to set a goal. So let's go through this just for fun. And then you can put that concept on as you go forward in setting 2019 goals. So the SMART concept, be specific. All right, let's talk about the S, specific. Because it's very vague for you to say, I want to add 100 management agreements in 2019. Okay, well, that's going to have to boil down to something a lot more tangible and actually get to the more of the top of the funnel, if you will. Because just saying you want 100 management agreements in 1 year or 100 new properties in 1 year is a very common thing. But then you have to break that down per month, per week, per day on the actions and steps you have to take to get to that goal. So a smarter goal using the SMART method and being specific, which is the S of SMART, I would think would be to go to a place where you would say, I want to get 10 leads this month or 10 leads this week. And then I want to close half of those leads. A 50% closing ratio would be half of those leads. So if you want to do some easy math, let's say you could get 20 leads per month, right? 20 property management qualified leads per month, and you close half of them. That's closing 10 per month. There's your 120 new management agreements for the year, given some fallout and given some sales. I mean, there's your net 100 potential new clients. So you have to break that down to a monthly type category. So now, obviously, filling the coffers with leads is tougher than it sounds. But if you have to set a goal to how many leads you want, then you can start to backwards plan and figure out, okay, what do I have to do to generate those 20 leads? And then it becomes a myriad of stuff that you can be doing. You can be doing internet advertising. You can be doing referral networking. You can be doing all kinds of different stuff. And it's just way too much to even go into on a podcast like this. But to get those 20 leads, to get you to 120 management leads per year, to get you those management agreements, signed up per year, that's where you have to go back to. You have to kind of backwards plan and work the numbers that way. Okay, that's the S in SMART. Now, measurable kind of ties into that. The M in SMART is measurable. So you have to make it a measurable goal, meaning do not say something like, I want to have a better running business in 2019. Well, what the does that mean? There's no quantification to that. That's a completely vague goal. That's stuff that you want to avoid. If you want to look at your personal life, just don't say stuff like, I want to have a better marriage, or say, I want to lose weight. Quantify that. Okay. If you say you want to have a better marriage and a better relationship with your family and your kids and your spouse, well, break that down. What does that mean? Does that mean you want to plan 5 family vacations? Does that mean you want to do, you know, go to church every Sunday? I mean, what does that mean to you? Break that down into something that you can use, make it measurable. And so that way you can set the goal with a measure to it and stick to it. All right. The A is in SMART, attainable. Can this thing that you're looking at be attainable? For you to say, I want to flap my wings really hard and fly to the moon is not an attainable goal. So you're going to have to kind of be realistic and have maybe somebody to check you on this to say, hey, that's really not realistic. You know, you're not going to lose 100 pounds in 4 months. So, you know, that might be a little tough one for you to do, especially if you weigh 200 pounds. So the other thing is make it attainable in reference to what the business is. So for example, to say something along the lines of, you know, I want to add 500 management agreements this year. Okay, well, when last year you added 30 and now you want to add 500, how are you going to do that? Make it an attainable goal that you can actually break down to a quarter weekly action efforts to get to that point. And that almost ties into the next one of the SMART acronym, which is relevant. So make it a relevant goal. Saying stuff that, you know, doesn't mean what you want to do, what you want to be focused on in 2019 does not help. And so what we're going to dive into a little bit more in this podcast is actually taking the relevancy of what we're talking about and actually applying it to property management. Because one thing I think you all like about what I put out with the podcast is I'm an actual operator. I actually own a management company. I have the trials and tribulations of how it works. We had an awful 2018. We did our goals. We reached some. We didn't reach some. But this is going to not discourage me and encourage me to have a better 2019. And we're going to go through the drill of some of the things that we did and didn't and how we broke it down for each year. So you're all going to be my accountability partners. And then the last thing in the SMART technique, again, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and now it's time bound. T is time bound. So you have to give yourself a deadline, okay? If you want to do a quarterly deadline, that's cool. A weekly deadline, that's cool. But essentially tie it into some sort of time-sensitive action. One of the things that we had set up for 2018 as a good example is we wanted to earn our CRMC designation. We did not do that. I even had it broken down to the steps to where we were going to do certain things per certain quarter and line everything up. And it just didn't happen for all kinds of lame excuses that I can throw out there. But just trust me when I say that we had a rough year and had a lot of turnover. And so really, we didn't get to it. We just didn't get to it. So that's going to be one of my first company goals for 2019 is to get our CRMC. We've gone through the headache of getting my RPM designation, and then we got the MPM designation. And so we've taken the CRMC checklist, which is fantastic. It's a product of NARPM. It's a Certified Residential Management Company designation. That, regardless of whether you have a designation or not, is an absolutely great playbook for running a good management company. So I would highly recommend looking into that, even if you don't have a designation, because if you were to just go through that checklist and break things down that you want to do per quarter, that would be a fantastic goal for 2019. Regardless if you ever want to get the designation or not, if you crack that thing open and apply it, that could be one awesome generating a boost to your business right then and there. Okay, so we got the SMART. Let's review. Specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time-bound. That's the SMART technique in goal setting. And I ripped that off again. So one of the cool ones I listened to just recently where it was a Bigger Pockets podcast, and they talked about goal setting. And I want to steal two things from that podcast from Bigger Pockets. I give them, those guys, kudos for this, is they took things and gave me a couple good ideas on how to actually do the goal setting. Okay, it's one thing to sit down and write what you want to do, but really applying it and making it seem like it makes sense to you, that's a key point. So one of the things they did is you want to break the end result of that goal down to a specific action, like we talked about with the leads. So don't sign up 10 deals a month, find one lead a day, for example. So that's even breaking it down further in those lead scenario. And I like to use that a lot because a lot of us may be growth minded. More of you may be dollar focused minded, and we will get into that. You know, we'll get into that. And so then you put it into the calendar. Now, here's another technique. If you use Microsoft or if you use Gmail or whatever, put it into the calendar, create a calendar reminder for yourself, and then actually potentially have calendar reminder review sessions. So maybe you set it up once a month. And what happens is you get an alert from your calendar system that says, hey, go look at your goals and look at your first quarter goals. Look at your January 2019 goals. I mean, break that down into how you want to look at them and then sit down with an accountability partner and maybe even set up a phone call. So here's one of the techniques that we used to use. And I've done this with several players around the industry, and we've all helped each other. And I think I've gotten a lot out of this is I found accountability partners. So for example, Tim Melton and I, we've always been for the last couple of years, accountability partners on our goal settings. We would sit down, write up our goals, and then trade them with each other. Hey man, here are mine, here are yours. Let's have a 30-minute phone call on it. And potentially even maybe you want to talk quarterly about that. I've done that with Todd Breen and Dave Holt and Kevin Knight and a couple others in the industry that I've shared my goals with. Tracy Strike up in Oklahoma is another one. You know, all those folks I've gone back and forth with sharing our goals. And what it does is it creates kind of a buzz. And then you see what they're doing, they see what you're doing, and you can actually apply that to what your business will do for 2019. Okay, don't forget this one. Another good one I stole from Bigger Pockets is bring in your spouse and this goal setting drill. So one thing they talked about is they went to a quiet place, the same time, same place every year, and they would contemplate their one and even out to their 5-year goals. So bring in your spouse, go find a consistent, quiet place every year and go to that place and then sit there and write out those goals that you want to accomplish as a couple for the next 1 to 5 years. And it's actually pretty neat. You know, we've been doing this for several years, my wife and I, and, you know, again, we're not perfect as far as the goal setting accomplishments, but it does help to get buy-in on what we want to do as a business owning couple. And so I think that's a pretty wise thing that I brought out on the Bigger Pockets podcast. Okay. So let's get into it. Here's what a couple things I just wrote down and I wanted to talk about it. So one of the things I would recommend, and I've done this in 2018, I'll show you how I want to do this in 2019, is find a role model and mentor from them, learn from them. So it's a lot easier said than done to find a role model. You know, for our example, we're sitting at around 850 plus single family homes. We've got some pretty good metrics that we've done that this last year in leasing and managing homes, et cetera. But I always think we can learn more. So one of the things my goals was last year, one of them, 2018, was I found a mentor, and when I went and visited that mentor's office in person. So I got on an airplane, I flew to that city, and I sat down with that mentor and spent as much time as I could to visit their operation. They had implemented the EOS model. They were doing their level 10 staff meetings when I was there. And I learned a ton just by being around that particular office. And tell you what, it opens up opportunities for other things down the road by doing that. And you can't be shy to ask because there's certain things that people love to talk about and they love to share in this industry, especially if you're not a threat to them. I would not go to your competitor next door in the same market and say, hey, let's sit down and share ideas. But maybe you should. You know, I've always been open to that, but I just don't think you're going to get the what you need out of it. What I'm talking about is getting into a completely new environment outside of your home city market. Maybe go to, you know, I don't know, the East Coast, West Coast, just to see a different market, to see how things are different there. And you might pick up something that can be really valuable or something that you could really appreciate. So seeing that at a different level, the mentor that I wanted to choose for 19, I'm looking for one, is going to be that large company type of a system where they have 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 units. Because as we push to break that 1,000 unit barrier in 2019, we're going to need some good operational guidance. And so we're doing a couple of good things I'll talk about as we get going. So find an accountability partner, as I mentioned, share your goals, have monthly, quarterly talks about them, break goals down into quarters if possible, as I talked about, give your goals attainable end states. So find the root of the goal and do a backwards planning session. Write these goals down. Okay, I can't stress this enough. I do mine in scratch, pencil, paper, like all through the month of January, excuse me, month of December. But by January 1st, I've got them written down in a Word document, saved to a PDF and printed and laying around my desk somewhere. So I can pull them up and reference them at any time. I would also potentially advise you to do that. Then take the most important goals and put those on a whiteboard somewhere in front of you in your office. It could be a dinky 4x4 whiteboard. It doesn't have to be a giant thing, a 2x2 whiteboard. Who cares? Just put some, you know, bullet points on there of what you want to accomplish potentially that month, that quarter. And that's going to help you kind of visualize those every day. And I don't want to get into the visualization realm. We're not going to be walking on hot coals here. But I do believe that if you kind of keep it top of mind, it does stay in your forethought and you start to drive actions towards that end goal. Okay. Read, listen, continually learn. That's another bullet point I wrote down. I'm not a big reader. I'll tell you the truth, but I listen to everything I can. I listen to audiobooks. I listen to podcasts. I try to stay away from talk radio because, you know, obviously it just makes you upset. You listen to politics and it just irritates you. So there's no good thing that comes out of it. Once in a while, I catch the news. I don't watch the news at night. I don't hardly watch any wasteful TV. If I'm going to sit down, I watch a movie or something. You know, I don't just sit there and drone on the TV. I leave the TV off when I come home. So I am not a holier thou than thou person. But what I'm trying to do, I'm making a point, is I'm trying to swear off the outside noise. You know, I don't listen to a lot of music. You know, I love music. But if I'm in the car or truck going somewhere, I try to listen to those podcasts. I try to listen to those audiobooks. I try to get something out of it. If I'm walking, I'm running, you know, those are the things I tend to take. I mean, the Apple earbuds with an iPhone, I mean, that's just a perfect combination to do an audiobook and or podcast or both. I love them. So the other last thing I'm going to talk about and then get into the goals is keep a positive attitude. And that's one of the things I wrote down because, again, we had an awful 2018. It was rough. You know, we had some issues going on with the business, with the finances. I mean, stuff that I really can't talk about, you know, just yet. But just to say, if it happened to you, it would be a real setback. And so we had to completely revamp what we were doing on our accounting side. We've had to spend a lot of money in CPAs, attorneys, and stuff of this nature. So it was an ugly, ugly 2018. And I say that because I'm keeping a positive attitude. I look at our business as to the point of it's a good business. I mean, yeah, it can be better. There's always room for improvement, but it's a good, solid, recurring revenue business. And this should be along the same lines as everyone's out there that's listening, because chances are your business is a good, solid, recurring revenue business. Now, you just want to make it, one, profitable, more profitable. Two, you want to make it run well. Three, you want to give a great place for your employees to work and be proud of what you're doing. And four, at the end of the day, you want that tangible asset. So if you decide to make an exit, that thing is going to bring you a high multiple because that's what we all strive for. Maybe you never want to get rid of your business. I mean, somebody asked me one time, what do you want to do with your business? I mean, where's it going to go in 20 years, 30 years? And I thought, and I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll give it to my kids. I think they were looking for me to say, I have an exit plan in place where I'm going to sell in 6.5 years once I reach $5 million in revenue. You know, I had nothing like that. So it kind of blew me away a little bit is because you start thinking of down the road, well, I'd love to give it to the kids and let them run it. That also scares the heck out of me. And I'd also love to make a big fat exit, but you got to realize that when you do that, then you have to start over. Then you got to pay taxes and all that. And then is it going to be enough to take you to the rest of the end game with your life? Do you have to start another venture? Maybe you want to start another venture. I mean, all those things are coming into the end state goal, but back to that. Keep a positive attitude. Okay, so let me take a quick break and I'll be right back with you. Hey everyone, I want to tell you about the upcoming conference in Atlanta, Georgia, called Pulling Back the Curtain, happening this January 2019. This is a two-day event with day one being presentation style of an exclusive group of property management entrepreneurs, followed by day two as small group sessions. Speakers include Dave Borden, Dev Newell, Mark Cunningham. My presentation at this event will be on closing business, discussing sales tactics that have helped us grow by adding more than one door per day for the last 2 years. Visit the propertymanagementmastermind.com site to learn more.
Tenants not changing their air filters? Costly HVAC repairs and unhappy owners got you down? Filter Easy is a subscription air filter delivery service that solves this problem by shipping filters directly to the tenant's front door when it's time to change. Tenants actually change them, which reduces HVAC-related maintenance calls by an average of 30%. FilterEasy's no-cost-you solution functions as a profit center to give you back time and money. Call 1-800-308-1186 today to learn more.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for taking a quick break with me. So what we want to do right now is I'm going to go through my 2018 goals, and I'm going to kind of talk about how I broke these down and kind of the goals that we had set for ourselves in 2018 and some of the wins and the losses. Let's talk through it. Okay, so I usually start with my personal goals. So I draw it out on a Word document, 2018 goals, family, health, finances. So my weight goal was to reach X by the PM Growth Summit in late January 2018, and that was 2 pounds a week. Didn't happen. That's okay, though, because I still feel good. I didn't lose a ton of weight. I've always had, you know, 15, 20 pounds extra that I'd love to lose, but like everything, like everybody, it just tends to be a tough thing. So here's what you could do if you're looking that way. I had written this down, track everything eaten, weigh in 3-4 times per week, cut out weekday beer at home. That was a challenge for me. Drink more protein shakes, reduce evening snacking, and continue working out 6 to 7 days a week, which I do. I do work out, you know, 6-7 days a week. I'm either running, rucking, or rowing. I usually do the 3 R's. And the finalized goal was to find a healthy life balance between the weight range of X and X. And so the healthy life balance, that's been a challenge for a lot of folks, because as I get into my early 40s here, and a lot of you may be out there having the same issue, is, you know, I did sports my whole life. I played college baseball. I played men's league baseball till I was 40. And finally, I started to succumb to the OLD disease, old disease. And so basically, I just kind of quit doing that. I did CrossFit for 6-7 years there, you know, in my late 30s, early 40s. And I was just kind of tired of being sore and hurt all the time. So now I'm still kind of just, I run, you know, I walk, I hike, you know, I'll get on the rowing machine at home and I'll lift some weights here and there. And that's really kind of just put me in a medium place. I mean, sure, I could be in better shape, but I'm pain-free, so I have to find that healthy medium. And that was our 2018 goal. So I had a couple other things in there. This is our family health and finances. So one was to acquire one lease purchase rental property home per quarter. So we wanted to acquire one more home per quarter. We didn't do it. You know, we just didn't focus on it enough. We didn't take we didn't break down the steps enough to go there, meaning that, you know, we should have been getting ourselves lined up financially with pre-approval to buy a home at any time. We should have been looking for those deals to where people are just wanting to get out of their home and don't want to take the time to sell. And the other side of that is our market is so hot that, you know, we sold close to 30 homes last year, just us, just Leah and I, because of all the homes that came out of the inventory go into her as the salesperson. And so that was, you know, the market's too hot not to sell. I mean, you're not going to be able to convince a seller that, hey, instead of selling the home on the open market, why don't you sell it to us at a reduced cost? Most of them are just going to say, you know, let's put it on the open market and try. And when they do that, these things pop. So that was a challenge for us. We want to circle back on that for 2019 to see how many more we can potentially start to acquire, because the asset of the business needs to be building more assets that we own. So all the business owners out there, when you own a revenue generating asset like a management company, start redirecting some of those profits and proceeds into acquiring more assets. And or build the systems in place to where if somebody says, hey, I want to sell tomorrow, I need to get out today. Do you have the means to sit down and write up a contract or a contract for deed or owner financing or a wrap technique? Are you able to take that home over today on behalf of that owner who just wants an exit? So get yourself lined up for that, because eventually when a market softens, like we look to, it might in 2019, those opportunities are going to pop up a little bit more. Okay, then I had family trips on here. Again, this is personal goals, family, health, finances, family trips. We had a ski trip, this trip, that trip, the other trip. Okay, all those trips we line out. All right, I'll talk through that a little bit more. So I had a personal goal of, you know, some stuff I wanted to do inside the golf world. You know, my first year playing hardcore full-time, you know, not full-time, but, you know, golf, like golf a lot. Not just where you're once or twice a year like I had been since I was 25 and I picked up the game. But my score was to break 80. So there's your quantification, all right? In golf, I wanted to break 80. I have not done that yet, all right? Short game is failing me, and I'm still learning the game. But I put a quantification and goal to that, and this is where I'm going with you guys, is put some numbers on there, put a date on there on what you want to do and your family, health, finances for your personal goals. So marriage goals, you could sit down and write all kinds of tons of things that you want to do with the marriage stuff. Maybe it's once a night date or once a week date night, once a month date night. Maybe it's family trips. You know, maybe it's activities together. I mean, who knows? Figure out something that you and your spouse like to do and maybe put it on paper that you're going to do. And that could help the marriage. I think it does. All right, finances. We obviously wanted to make quarterly payments to the IRS. We wanted to implement Profit First. We had a tax planning strategy that we put in there. And then we also wanted to implement a 401k package for our employees. So a lot of those things I just talked about, we did not accomplish in 2018. We had a really rough year, but we did start to make quarterly payments to the IRS. And so we're all caught up. We always have been caught up. But, you know, instead of filing once and then paying a large check, we started to make quarterly payments. So some people out there are laughing at me now saying, oh, you're so far behind. Well, we've only been in this business 6 or 7 years. Okay. And we've grown to, you know, 850 some homes. All right. Make fun of me all you want, but it's an ever learning process of trying to get better. So here's the business goals for 2018. We wanted to buy an office building. Never got to it. Didn't get the right time. The one we're in now, we were in negotiations to purchase it. It just didn't go through, or we didn't really get to that point. So in 19 and 20, one of our goals is going to be locate an office space, either build from scratch or some sort of shell, and build a custom office building just for RentWorks. So we can occupy that space for the next 25, 30 years. So that's one of our goals in the next 2 years. We wanted to implement Profit First, as I talked about. We wanted to expand SaleWorks, which is our sales division. We wanted to find one large company mentor, which I talked about, which we did, and we wanted to join the EO. Now, I did not join the Entrepreneurs Organization in 2018. I interviewed with them, and essentially, I just got cold feet. I do think it's a great organization to look into, the EO organization. It used to be Young Entrepreneurs Organization. Now they just call it EO. I think it is a great organization. The only thing that scared me was I would have to start becoming more of a babysitter to now 8 or 10 other business owners, or 6 or 7, whatever the small group is, and they would have to babysit me a little bit, because that's kind of what you do. I'm not knocking it. I have not been in it. I don't know enough about it to even talk about it, but that was my initial impression from my in-person interviews, is I get to hear all about their problems. I get to lament about my problems, but at the end of the day, it just seemed like it was more giving than receiving, and I just have other things on my plate, like doing a podcast show, like building up the management company. You know, those things are more intriguing to me. And I think I will eventually get to the EO system, Entrepreneurs Organization, but it got to the back burner. So here's another really good thing you want to do in writing down your 2018 goals. Okay, pay attention to this, is sit down and write up your conferences and your scheduled trips. So I had 17 scheduled trips for 2018. Everything from the PM Growth Summit to the NARPM Texas Style to family trips in here, NARPM property, the NARPM conference in Vegas, the broker owner, got speaking events in here. You know, there's other family trips, and I just went down the line and started writing them all out, and I had 17. Okay. And it's good to write those out so you can start to kind of look. I mean, I wrote them out not on a calendar, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 17, because that way you can see them on paper and realize, okay, am I stretching myself too thin? Do we have time in here to add in potentially another family trip? We just got to start thinking about it. I mean, that really helps you in outside of a calendar format, and then it puts it in writing for the year. All right, company-wide goals. First thing we want to do is earn our CRMC designation. We didn't get to it. Okay. The other thing we want to do is reach 1,000 homes under management. Did not get to it. We thought we were going to, but we just started to revamp some of the things, and we started to clean up our books, and we had a lot more trash on our numbers than we thought. So when we started the year, I think we were right at, on paper, close to 800 homes on paper. Okay. When we started to revamp all of our accounting, started to clean house with who was working with us and touching our numbers and touching our property management software, we started to realize we had a lot of fake things in there. And this happens to a lot of businesses, because you can go to your software and say, oh yeah, I think we have 1,200 homes or 1,500 homes. I hear that all the time by business owners in San Antonio. They think they have way more homes than they think they really do. And then you look at their MLS activity and it's less than ours, and we have 850. And I stand by that number, because now it's cleaned up. You know, we've paid for the proper cleanups, and those numbers are accurate. So yeah, we grew by 400. Here's the good goal that we did. We added 425 homes to our market center here in San Antonio in 2019, 425. We ended up losing probably 250 out of regular churn. So that's a 25% roughly churn amount of the total amount of homes that we had under management. Is it the end of the world? No. It just shows that a lot of homes were selling, a lot of owners were not a good fit, and a lot of times I could distinctly attribute that to one or two bad employees that fumbled big time, good, multiple property owners. They just straight up fumbled them. And so those things we fixed, we're going to fix. Okay. We had established a company revenue goal of X, right? That's a good thing to do, because if you have a company revenue goal, that can be kind of the top of the ladder, bottom of the funnel, if you want to switch it the other way, to say, okay, what do we got to do to get X million in revenue per year? So you need this, you need this, you need this. You start breaking down some of these metrics to figure out, okay, well, we need to potentially start to FEMAX. And I'm not going to, I like that term. I'm going to call it FEMAX, and you can call it value added propositions if you want. I mean, you can spin that all kinds of ways you want to, but at the end of the day, you have to figure out ways to generate revenue for your business. You owe it to your employees. You owe it to the business. If you're running on thin margins, you're subject to the market turn, and you're subject to being upside down. And then what? You can't pay your employees very well. They're going to hate you and quit. Now you're providing a lousy service. So what you want to do is figure out to potentially ways how you can get to the point where you can FEMAX your business. One of our other goals was establishing a profit per door metric of around $60 per door per month. I don't think we got there, but I love that $50 to $60 per door per month profit metric. So I'm hoping we can revamp all of our numbers starting in the first quarter, as we've done a complete accounting overhaul, and start to really see where we are, and then reestablish that goal for 19 to see where our PPU, right, our profit per unit per month should be or could be. So we wanted to establish a profit margin goal of 15% on our maintenance side, and then even 35% on our management company side. And all those are out the window, okay? They're out the window. They didn't happen. But you see where I'm going. I broke it down into the maintenance side, 15% revenue profit margin on the maintenance. You know, some of the pass-through, and we're a pass-through company. So we get a dollar in, we're paying out 90 cents, you know, because we have a preferred method technique with a preferred vendor technique. And so there is a little bit of profit there. And then some of our plans we charge on top of that, because guess what? We pay for insurance. We pay for all the liability. We eat all the bad invoicing. We get so much things that are thrown our way. If you don't get some sort of margin on maintenance, you're doing yourself a disservice. I mean, a big time disservice. And you're doing your owners a disservice, because you need to have enough juice in there to cover the insurance at least. Because guess who's going to get sued when it all goes down? All right. Establish retention goals of less than 10% losses. I think we ended up roughly 25% churn for 2018. I'd love to reduce that in half by into 2019. Several programs are, one, we revamped our business development commission structure. So my biz dev team, they're focused on getting the best quality management plans assigned into RentWorks versus working for the multiple property owners and trying to get them in. That was my mistake, to set that up to where they would be paid more for a multiple property owner than they would for somebody who has a platinum or gold plan. And so once we started to recognize that, right around in June of 2018, I revamped all the commission structures, and it's been working out very well, because now they're highly incentivized to get the upper plans. And that's going to help reduce that churn as we go forward in 19. Again, 10% would be my goal for 19. 2018 was, again, we sold a lot of homes out of there. It wasn't the end of the world that we had a lot of high churn, but you know, it was irritating nonetheless. And then one thing we have to get back around, again, 2018 was a rough year. So these are all things that we're going to reestablish, is getting established regimented employee awards and the annual year-end celebration, which we did. So we'll reestablish the PM of the month and reestablish PM of the year awards going forward in 2019. Okay, so some business development goals. These are fun. These are 2018 business development goals. Establish a PMA goal for 2018 using a 35% year-over-year growth metric math. A property management agreement goal, 35% year-over-year. So in 2017, year prior, we signed up 360 single-family homes. In 2018, this year, here we are in December, we've signed up 425. So we did make some improvement. Okay, we did not reach our goal of 500. However, I'm still happy with the numbers, and I think we can do the same thing going forward. So we ended up getting over 100 leads per month to do that. That was one of our goals, seek out over 100 leads per month and get them. We hired business development officer number two, and we revised our commission structure. So now we have our business development manager and our business development officer. And so we have a retention rate metric for losses, good, bad, neutral losses. We've established that retention metric rate that we want. Here's one thing that we did not do, we tried to establish, was 6 broker partnership arrangements. So what that means is there's a broker partnership system that we post on our website to where if you're a small-time real estate brokerage agent and you want to use us exclusively as your property management company, we'll even share the revenue. We'll share the portfolio revenue. You just got to sign a couple forms with us and agree to give everything our way. And we thought we could go get 6 of those. We got 0. So I don't think it's a real, you know, widely adopted program. Maybe it's just the market we're in, but I think the concept is sound. And so we also, we reviewed another platform called Platinum Top 50 here in San Antonio, and we joined it. We joined it as a property management company, as a vendor, to go out and source good leads through realtor networking. And I think that's a huge part of growing a business, is getting to that point where you can go there. All right. Next, we're going to talk about weekly, monthly, yearly numbers. But I might want to skip that because that gets pretty tedious. So first quarter projects. Then I broke it down to first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. So we competition-focused landing pages. You know, we built some of those. We created a forms. We bought competition keywords. We built a chat feature on our website. We also built and developed a robust investor page. Those are all straight out of the goals list for 2018. So that was good stuff. Leasing goals, we had a couple things on the leasing goals. So again, let's break this down. So we go to different goal settings. We go to personal goals, business goals, conference and scheduled trips, leasing goals, maintenance goals, and then we also had some sale brokerage goals. Okay, so those are all things right in there. So our leasing goals was lease application processing time goal of 2 business days or less, assuming all documentation and verifications come back in a timely manner. So that was fun. Okay, we got to that point. Tenant Turner, code box metrics. We wanted to get established a leasing goal for our code box Tenant Turner method. And we ended up roughly leasing, I think it was around 50 homes, 50 unaccompanied vacant home showings turned into lease agreements in 2018 using the Tenant Turner and code box method. We created an application guarantee. So essentially, if somebody moves into one of our homes and hates it, we put it in writing that they can back out anytime because we're only showing vacant homes. So what they've seen is what they've seen. But you're going to get the one particular tenant who's just completely off their rocker. They view a home. They go into a home. They apply for a home. They're approved. They sign a lease agreement. And then the day they move in, they turn into like just complete nut jobs and say that everything is wrong with the home. And they want this and they want that and they want this. So what we found is say, okay, Mr. Tenant, since you're so unhappy with this home, we offer you basically a guarantee, whatever you want to call it. So we had named it, what did we name it? Oh, it's basically a home readiness guarantee or client application guarantee. Essentially what we did is we put that in writing in the lease agreement and the screening criteria that if they're not happy the first day or two, they can back out of the lease agreement and get all their money back. Okay. And so we've only had one all year exercise that. I think that was a very unique situation. But what this does, okay, hear me out, is this creates a shut up moment for the tenant. Mr. Tenant, if you're not happy with the home, get back in your moving truck and get out of here. We'll give you everything you wanted. We'll give you your check back. We'll give you your application feedback. You're gone. Okay, take off. And they're like, whoa, I guess me screaming and crying is not going to work if you're just going to say get out. And so what that has done is it's stopped them from doing that and allowed us to work with them like as people. Like, okay, we know you're going over the top to try and leverage your now that you're in the home type scenario. Our system was to say, okay, you're not happy. Go ahead and vacate tomorrow. So since you don't want to vacate and we're not going to install gold toilets like you want, let's come together and work with this and work with each other and try to figure out, you know, how we can make you a very happy tenant and get you settled in. So that little trump card, as you would say, has worked very well for us. And we had to create that. We did also create a couple other fees in there for the year. One was you have an animal fee. That's a monthly deal. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about that stuff, but you can figure it out. Those things you're going to want to look at in your business and see where you can go with it. Okay. So one of the other maintenance goals that we had, again, leasing down to maintenance, is open work orders percentage to homes under management. This is something that we just totally created out of thin air. I mean, just completely thin air. So if we manage, for easy math, if we manage 800 homes and there's 400 open work orders, that open work order metric is 50%. Okay. Not the end of the world. Does it mean anything to anything? No. But we just created it so we could get a synopsis, a snapshot of what we're doing in the maintenance world. If all of a sudden we have 600 open work orders, when 2 weeks ago we had 400 open work orders, well, now we're, you know, it's kind of a, you know, what's going on? What did we lose, a couple of vendors, or what's going on there? And so we established a couple of those just for in-house tracking, because we do weekly inventory meetings to where leasing reports on what they do, maintenance reports on what they do, biz dev reports on what they do. We go around the room, talk about issues. I mean, that's a weekly thing that we do. Okay. The other thing was the happiness guarantee. That's what I talked about. So inside of the maintenance and leasing goals, we implemented the happiness guarantee for the tenant. So again, if they move in and they're not happy, we're allowing them to back out. So we also implemented property meld in 2018. That's been fantastic. Okay. In 2018, what we did is we took property meld on, we implemented that into our system and our maintenance system. We introduced all of our vendors to it. And that's been fantastic, because what it does is it eliminates a lot of different things in the efforts of trying to coordinate for maintenance. That's where it's really key. This even allowed us to create a completely new business model. And so what we did is we created something called Managers Reiki. So in this market in Texas, what we needed to do, we have to rekey all of our homes. And so we also have to inspect the homes, because we need that internally. So we were outsourcing that. We were taking it to one vendor for the inspections, taking it to another vendor for the rekey actions and the code work. And it was two different vendors, two different invoices. And we look back at that, and we've spent well over 150, almost 200,000 just on those two vendors in the last 12 months prior to starting Managers Rekey. And so when we did that, it's really for our business. And so where I'm going with this is to encourage you to see, okay, where is all your revenue going out the door? And is that something that you can in-house, right? So we have 10 full-time team members in Mexico. And these team members are fantastic. And they handle our frontline phones. They do maintenance leasing calls for us. They do all kinds of stuff. And so it's really been a very awesome tool. So 2019, let's talk about some of the goals we had there. All right. So we had obviously some personal goals. We got some weight goals, family goals, and the finances. So, I mean, that's all going to be stuff that you're going to want to touch on. Company-wide goals. We want to reach 1,100 homes by the end of 2019. 1,100. We want to reach $4 million in revenue for 2019. Reach a profit per door metric of $50. These are things I've written down for 2019. Then we start to break it down into quarters. Quarter one, establish baseline company for company metrics. Establish an accounting plan. We're also working with a company called RentBridge to revamp all of our processes. So RentBridge is coming in, and they're doing building us a HubSpot type platform that's going to be the center of our universe here in the operational side. And so we're doing that, and that's going to be one of our quarterly one goals to get this done in 2019. So RentBridge is who we're using. I do like all kinds of methods. There's a Podio. Boost PM is a really good one to build out a Podio platform. I do think that's what's really missing in the operational side in a lot of different companies, is having some sort of centricity to it, some sort of centric hub that everything flows through and to. And so we're doing that. And so, you know, we're going to get into it and get that done. We wanted to add two new clients into Managers Rekey, which we talked about. So a lot of other things are just so, you know, they're kind of deep, so I'm not going to get into them. That's quarter one. And so quarter two, we have other goals. For example, prepare and file your tax return on time. We can do it in 2019. We're on it. So quarter two, focus on the CRMC designation with establishing a timeline. We're going to circle back quarter two, get back on the CRMC. And so we're going to make that happen. Quarter two, I also had to find one large company mentor and arrange for a person in-person visit. So that's for quarter two. And then quarter three, I'm going to be executing on that. I got to quarter four and I got stuck. I'll be real honest with you. There's not a lot I can really project out to quarter four versus that it's not just an all-encompassing goal for the year. So what I'm going here is you may want to have a quarterly reminder with yourself to say, okay, come January, February, March, let's say March 15th, for example, you sit down with yourself and write up your second quarter goals starting April, May, and going into June. That might be the ticket to sit down and do that. Okay, so that's the other part. So I did write down all the conferences and scheduled trips for 2019. You know, we have all our conferences, all our trips in there, and it helps us document what we're doing that year. Now, I do have some staff member goals in my office. So one was to earn their broker's license. So I have one staff member who's, that's their goal that I'm assigning them. They already knew this, but I wrote it down because I want to see them get their broker's license to see, you know, how we can offset some of the brokerage requirements onto them. Our business development goals, we wanted to establish a PMA goal, which is a property management agreement of 500 new signups for 2019. And so that was our reestablished goal for 2019 again. Those things in the biz dev stuff are almost repetitive from last year. But we didn't reach that goal, but I still think we can, you know, given some of the things that we're doing and given the turn in the market, it just takes one little thing and next thing you know, you're reaching that. And you have to be prepared for that amount of new incoming operational challenges. So we also have leasing goals and we have maintenance goals. And then we also have, you know, established goals for our brokerage. So the other thing is we had, again, mentioned that we have 10 full-time members in Mexico. And I started to set up NPS score goals for them. So the net promoter score, we do a lot of outbound calling to get net promoter scores, meaning that we actually make retention calls. We have our leasing line calls. We call tenants after a work order. We call owners at a certain point in the management agreement, 30 days in. And those triggers lead to NPS scores. And so the NPS scores are perfect for you to say, okay, this year we had 2018, we had roughly going out about an 89 for an NPS score for maintenance. So anyone that Erica, one of our Southern team members would call, she would reach out to them, get them via phone, ask them just one or two questions. And it was a, you know, how do you rank this on a 1 to 10? And she would record that inside of SurveyMonkey and we compile those metrics. We're tracking at an 89 right now. Next year, I think that's a good goal to keep, is around a 90 NPS score. Then we have owners, then we have other things for tenants. So we're establishing the metrics for those. And that's something that I would encourage you to do because that way you can quantify your service levels. You're going to have to potentially build the metric first, right? You just can't say out of thin air, hey, I want an NPS score of 80 for owners. And then you start doing some of these calls or doing some of these surveys, and now your NPS score reflects at a minus 20. Okay, it's a minus 100 to a plus 100. So you're reflecting at a minus 20 on an owner score. Well, geez, how are you going to fix that up to a 50? I mean, you're so far off of your goal. That's not even funny. So you have to establish the baseline first, see kind of where you're hovering, figure out, okay, if I can make one more tweak or do one more thing or do one less thing or offer my owners this or offer my tenants that, I think I can get into a better NPS score realm, which will quantify your service levels and give you that warm fuzzy going forward that you're doing a good job of what you're doing in building a management company. And then you can take on more doors and start to grow the company as a good entity. Okay. So let's wrap this up. This has been a good conversation on goal setting for 2019. I hope you all got something out of this. We reviewed our goals for 2018. I've written down my goals for 2019. I would challenge you to do the same to ensure that you are ready for next year. So I look forward to bumping into you at conferences or seeing you here on the web. If you got any questions, feel free to reach out to us at the Facebook page and be sure and join the group. So thanks again, everybody, for listening and take care. This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you are in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you will definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org, again, propertymanagementsystem.org, and to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D.
This has been a podcast episode by propertymanagementproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.